I teach every other weekend, and I fill in for Kevin whenever. But there's this other guy, Frank, that also teaches at the 8 o'clock service, this service as well. But today he's not here, and I am teaching. So who needs a Bible in here? Does anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4. Cool. All right, go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. Were you guys here on Wednesday? No? Okay. So Wednesday we did something different in here. We broke off into small groups throughout the plex. We had a group over here for music. We had a group over there talking about your appearances, whether they're inward or outwardly. We had a spot for worship. We had a spot for like evangelism. And we're just breaking it off into these small groups to discuss the different topics in them. What does it matter if we're the way we dress? What does it matter what kind of music we listen to? And so forth. Well, I was in the music group on Wednesday night. It was a pretty cool group. And one thing that kept coming up over and over and over again was that music had an influence on their lives. Do you guys agree? Right. Now, whether that influence is positive or negative, it has an impact on our lives. Now, one thing that we were doing, we were comparing Christian music versus secular music. Okay? So, we would have a song typed out, one Christian, one secular. We would read a couple verses of both songs. We would compare them. Yet, obviously, that one was bad, was pretty much depressing. And the other one was just glorifying God. But, however, let me give you guys an idea of how music has changed and how it's influenced our culture. I've always listened to rap. I listen to all kinds of music, but I've mainly listened to hip-hop and rap. Now, growing up, I haven't always been a Christian. So in the 90s, rap was real popular, but it was more aimed towards gang violence, okay? Where people would kill other people for wearing the wrong color. This is an everyday occurrence. This actually even happened out here. I remember on several occasions, people would get murdered because they had a handkerchief hanging out of their pocket. When the dude's like 50 years old, he's not involved in a gang, and he's just hanging out with his family at the state fair. Yeah. Now, rap in the 90s was all about the gang violence and degrading women. Rap today is now about the bling. Now about having 20-inch rims or dubs. It's all about the material possessions. And you'll see it in our culture that teenagers, typically in high school and college age, are all into this. You'll see them rolling around their cars with 22, 24-inch rims. They'll have a big, heavy, shiny necklace, big, shiny watch. Cool. So it influences our lives, right? But not just music. TV. How much TV do you guys watch a day? None? Nice. A lot, would you guys say? Okay, it's about true. Now, one thing about TV is, when I was your guys' age, it was much more cleaner than it is today. We had shows like Alf, this little furry alien dude who ate cats. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool, it was pretty clean. We had shows like Family Matters with Urkel. The what? I don't remember it. Leave It to Beaver is a good one. I used to watch reruns of that. I still do. Yeah, there's like the Andy Griffith Show. I Love Lucy was another great one. There was all these great shows that were clean, whether it was in speech or whether it was in appearance or their actions, whatever they did, it was clean compared to nowadays. You turn on the TV nowadays, it's just full of drugs, sex, violence, murders, filthy language. And hardly any TV, maybe a small portion of it, glorifies God. The rest of it does not. Actually, I found a cool report on the internet the other day. I just want to share some highlights about it. It says that children in the U.S. watch an average of 3 to 4 hours of TV a day. While TV can entertain, inform, and keep our children company, it may also influence them in undesirable ways. Yeah? Okay. Just wait 1 second. Time spent watching TV takes away from important activities such as reading, schoolwork, playing, exercises, family time, and social development. Those are all true, but they didn't mention God. It does take away from your time with God and your relationship with God. And it goes on to say they often cannot tell the difference between the fantasy presented on TV versus the reality. Young children are impressionable and may assume that what they see on TV is typical and safe and acceptable. As a result, TV also exposes children to behaviors and attitudes that may be overwhelming and difficult to understand. Okay, are you sure? Okay. So, that was just a cool little report I found. And it's true. At times I find myself watching 3, 4, 5 hours of TV a day. Or movies. Yeah, something on that box. I love what my buddy calls it. My buddy calls it the sin box. Because pretty much any time you turn it on, there's sin. Sin is at your fingertips through that remote control. Really, non-Christian VeggieTales. That's lame. Yeah. I'm sorry. That stinks. If they play VeggieTales, it's just once in a while on TV. Okay. Oh, wow. So it's just not TV. It's not just the music we listen to, TV programs that we watch, but also that has a big impact upon our life is the people you hang out with, right? The people you kick it with. People that you go to school with. They have a huge impact upon your life. Now, I remember your parents might have said this to you, but my parents would always tell me this. They'd say, stop hanging out with my buddies. Stop hanging out with them. Those dudes are nothing but trouble. Those dudes will bring you down. They'll cause you destruction. And then what? Where are they going to be when you get in trouble, when you get arrested? This is what they would tell me. And I'd be like, we're good buddies. We have same things in common. We like the same things. We do the same things. We get along just great. And they'd continually rag on my friends. And it's just like, I'd get to a point where it's like, man, you guys just don't want me to have no friends or what? You guys want me to be alone? You don't want me to interact with no kids? I'd be like, no, we just want you to choose better friends. Little did I know that my parents were speaking truth and wisdom. They knew from experience that the kids that I was hanging out with would end up causing me to get in trouble. Would end up causing to bring my life down instead of picking me up. Now, I was never a Christian until a couple years ago. So I never saw the difference in the influence and how much of an impact it had upon my life. You know, my friends would go off in the ditch and I would sit back and be like, why would you ditch? And then they'd be like, oh, dude, we went to go eat, we went to the park, we had fun, it was great times. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I was in class. And then eventually, they kept mentioning it and making it sound better and better and better. And then, before you know it, I was going with it. The peer pressure had got to me. And then I was ditching, hanging out, doing things we weren't supposed to be doing. And it's amazing how peer pressure will impact your life. And today, that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 1, verses 10 through 19, which talks about godly parental wisdom against the enticement of sinners. Now, this is the first story of many throughout Proverbs, especially the first nine, that talks about wisdom through a story. Let's go ahead and kick it off and start reading in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Pretty cool little story, huh? Think about this. Verse 10, he's saying, this father is talking to his son, he's saying, hey, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You guys heard of the saying, just say no? Yeah, it's talking about drugs. Now, when I was your guys' age, you would see it on cars, you would see it on billboards, you would see that slogan on TV, on the radio, you'd see DARE stickers, drug, alcohol, resistance education. You'd see those stickers everywhere. You'd even see them on t-shirts. And nowadays, you don't even see those. But verse 10, he's talking about the sinners who are unsaved. That's what he's talking about when he says sinners. And he's saying, do not consent. Just say no. But that slogan that America has adopted, just to say no, is just referring to drugs and alcohol. As a Christian, that should be our motto towards sin in general, right? Just say no. See, they'll peer pressure you. Now that you guys are going to middle school, how many guys are going to public schools? One, two. You guys don't go to public school. Just two of you guys? Man, I'm thankful that I went to public school. But just a warning, there's going to be peer pressure. Just like there's peer pressure on your computer, on the TV, with your friends, with your family members. There's peer pressure. There's more peer pressure at school than just about anywhere. More so than the mall, more so than the state fair. They'll peer pressure you. They'll make something sound really good. Or they'll keep complimenting you. Or they'll invite you to do something, and they won't give you any idea of what's going on. They're like, hey, come with me real quick. Come check this out. This is pretty cool. They're like, see something that's really cool? Probably haven't seen before. Hey, sure, why not? It can't be that bad. It's harmless. It's innocent, right? Wrong. In actuality, they want you to partake in something that will cause destruction. Not only to yourself, but maybe to other people. Maybe they just say, hey, there's an abandoned house right there. There's some nice big rocks right here. Let's throw the rocks through the windows. Start throwing the rocks. Have a little competition. Hey, bet you can't hit the top left one. Next thing you know, police come. And you guys are getting sent to the D home, parents picking you up. Sounded like a fun, harmless time until you got in trouble. Now, how often has that happened in you guys' life? Where you guys do something that you think's fun and it causes you to get in trouble? Has that happened a lot? No, kind of. Yeah, you guys been grounded? Oh, yeah. Well, that's a downfall of peer pressure. It's leading me to a point is ungodly ways equals destruction. Notice in verse 11 what it says. It says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. So they're just inviting you. They're just like, hey, come hang out with us for a moment. But the rest of it, doesn't it sound like a lion? Check this out. Let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Sounds like a lion waiting to pounce on a lamb or waiting to pounce on a zebra to get its meal, to destroy that zebra, to destroy that lamb. I mean, a couple weeks ago, think about this. That massacre that happened in Virginia Tech. All those innocent people that were murdered. All those innocent bystanders that were injured. For what? Because this dude was messed up through events in his life, through the peer pressure and the pressure in general and depression, that he just waited secretly to destroy lives. Without a cause, he just started opening fire and killing random people. It's sad, but it happens every day. I remember growing up, we'd just be walking down the street. Guys wanted to jump me. That was a part of my life. That was a reality in my life. Now, I never knew the motive behind it, but they just wanted to beat me up for whatever reason. Maybe I sneezed wrong or something. I don't know. And one thing that's crazy is the more you surround yourself with these corrupted people who are peer pressuring you to do these things, the more you'll become like them. See, they'll peer pressure you because they think that you don't have enough wisdom to say no. Even if you do say no, they'll keep doing it and keep doing it, hoping that you'll cave, hoping that you'll be like them. And eventually, they'll come up with a plan, whether as a group effort or by themselves, where the innocent are victimized, where they're captured, where they're destroyed. And just like it mentions in verse 12, it says, let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. Now, Sheol, have you guys heard of that? No? Okay, this is going to be fun. Sheol, it's a place to be dreaded, okay? It's not only the end of physical life, but it's also the end of spiritual life. There's no praise of God there. Basically, hell is what Sheol is. Psalm 6:5 says, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Psalm 30, verse 3 says, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. What a deliverance from hell. Isn't that such a blessing? I love the fact that through the Bible, through Genesis, all the way through Revelation, it talks about salvation. It talks about coming to know Christ, inheriting heaven, and having a relationship with our Lord and Savior. But more than that, it also talks about hell. And if you don't come to know God, if you don't come to accept Him, and you still live in a corrupted, immoral life, then that's where you're going to go. But God doesn't want us to go to Sheol. He doesn't want us to be spiritually dead. He wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to worship Him. He wants us to serve Him. Not just here on earth, but also in heaven. See, we're all born with this sinful, corrupted nature. We're all spiritually dead. We're wicked on our ways. We're deserving of death. We're not deserving of life, especially spiritual life. But God gave us an escape from hell, from death, from corruption. He did this by coming down to this earth, to this world, in human flesh, known as Jesus. So he was manifested. And through his manifestation, through him being visible, so manifested means to be made known, to be made visible. He was a sinless guy, both God and man in one. But he didn't know no sin to become sin. He died upon the cross to take away our sins, to take away that sting that sin has upon us. He did this once and for all by his death and by his resurrection. Not too long ago, we just celebrated Easter. And it's sad to say, but a lot of people don't think about his resurrection any other time than on Easter or on Good Friday. Even though they might wear the cross around their neck, they don't think about it. Every day we should be thinking about his death and his resurrection and what he's done for us in our own lives and how he's let us escape from that. Now, verse 13, it says, we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. That doesn't sound too bad, right? Let's go to find some treasure. Nah. They don't disclose what they really want. What they really want is to go steal this stuff. And the spoil that he's talking about here that he wants to fill his house with is the goods obtained by robbing. And they call it precious is because they wanted it so bad that was the only way that they could get it is by stealing it. So it's precious to them. It's a treasure. It's something that they glorify and that they worship. Notice in verse 14 it says, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Have you guys heard or ever done draw straws to make a choice? Yeah? Or try a shot at dice? Maybe just see if you could roll a 7. Or how many times? Well, there's all one goal there. There's all one purse, right? So they want you to do. They basically want you to put your money with their money. They want you to do what they're doing all together so you have this one big, great pile of stolen goods. So my next point. Words of caution from parents. Verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your foot from their path. Now, verse 15 directly confronts the invitation that we found in verse 11. With the invitation. Now, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I'm sure you guys have heard that before, right? No? It's a good verse to have, and it's a good model for life. Choose wisely who and what influences you. You know, it says in the epistles that you will know a Christian by their works, by their fruits. Well, you'll also know a non-Christian by their fruits, by their works, by what they do and how they act. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. So true. You know, like I said, when I was your guys' age, people would want to jump me. They wouldn't think twice about it. And they don't. Did that guy who did the massacre in Virginia Tech, did he think twice about his actions? He just went crazy. You know, and they're so quick to point the finger, to draw out the gun, to do all these things, to beat somebody up. And it's just pointless. Isaiah 59:7 says that Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Interesting. Their ways are devastating to God and hurtful to people. God doesn't want to see us living a life that's full of continual sin. He wants to see us living a life that will glorify Him. That we will be used by Him, that we'll serve Him. He wants us to see a life. He wants us to have a life worthy of Him. Now, verse 17 and verse 18 are really interesting. Check this out. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Have you guys ever tried to capture a bird?
Yeah.
Not kill it, but capture it. You've nursed one. Nice. Well, if you try to capture a bird and you go about it by setting up a net, you don't want to set up that net in front of the bird. It more than likely, 99% of the time, will not work. That bird will see what you're doing and will fly away. But even though you set up that net for the bird, you land up getting caught up in the net. Interesting, huh? I remember when I was a little kid, just a funny little story real quick. I used to set up booby traps for my family. My room was directly in the middle of the house. So I would get my chairs and I would get this roll of string. And I would tie it all crazy to chairs, to the bed, to anything that I could tie it to. And I'd have the lights off and I'd just be hanging out in the living room with my family, just waiting to see who's going to get caught up in the trap. But unfortunately, my room was in the middle of the house, but next to the bathroom. I remember on several occasions, me being so caught up into the TV show, I totally forget that my booby trap was set. And I go to the bathroom. And I don't turn on the lights in my room. And I learned my lesson the hard way. Yeah. Got caught up all up in it, and oh, it was just horrible. But it's true. You set up your net in front of a bird, and that net's for the bird, you will end up getting caught up in the net. It's a fruitless task. It's pointless. Verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So sad, but so true. Covetousness, greed, it consumes the people's lives. You know, there's a saying that says the more money you have, the more problems you get. It's true. Well, there's people out there that will do anything for material possessions, that will do anything for money, that they'll put their own life on the line. They'll neglect their family, their wife, their children. They'll neglect their friends. They'll even neglect God. Check this out. 1 Timothy 6:10 says beautifully, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So you guys have some amazing wisdom in this book. Yeah? To go back to school, to go hit up your neighborhood this summer, when you're not at church, when you're not around your family, you get those peer pressures. Remember Proverbs and what it's talked about today. Do not consent. Because their ways land up in destruction and end up causing more harm just than to you. Guys, be knowledgeable in this Bible. This is pretty much your instruction manual for life. It's incredible. Cherish it. Know it. Have it in your heart. Live it. And today, on this day, it is Mother's Day. I don't know if you guys knew that. I found out not too long ago. Listen to your parents. Cherish the time that you have with them. Whether they're divorced or whether they're married. Take every opportunity that you have with your parents and cherish it. Listen to them. They know what they're talking about. Guys, let's go ahead and close up in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I just come before you, Lord. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for this day, God. We just ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon all the moms throughout this world, Lord. Lord, may you continually give them wisdom and instruction on how to raise their children, God. Lord, may your hand continually bless them, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom and instruction and the guidance that Solomon has given us in the book of Proverbs, God. Lord, let us just take these words of wisdom, and let us apply it to our lives, Lord, on a daily basis. Lord, guide our feet as we go out into this evil and corrupt world, God. Direct our eyes so that they're focused upon you, God. Lord, we lift up this day to you with thanksgiving and with praise, God. Amen. Cool. You guys have a good day.